Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Last September, Irish quartet Pillow Queens, they released their debut album called In Waiting. The album received 5 out of 5 star reviews and 4 out of 5 star reviews right across the board. It was included by Rough Trade, by the way, I just noticed there, in the 100 Albums of 2020 list. It's just been nominated for Album of the Year at the RT Choice Music Prize. Anyhow, it looks like they've also made a fan over in Los Angeles, and not a bad fan to have. His name is James Corden, and he requested Pillow Queens to come on the Late Late Show in America on his programme. That happened this week, and here's just how excited, by the way, he was to chat to them. You ready for this, James Corden?
Our next guests are an outrageously talented rock band hailing from Dublin, Ireland. They're here tonight to make their US television debut. I could not be more excited to have them on the show. Please welcome the brilliant, the smashing Pillow Queens.
Sarah, is that the first time you ever heard that, is it?
You know it's not. I've been watching it back on repeat.
Yeah, I'd say you know it off by heart at this stage of the game. Okay, let's take a look at this. How does it feel, by the way, first of all, to have made your US television debut this week?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's really surreal because I think we were expecting to have quite a quiet few months considering everything that's going on at the moment, but that was really mind-blowing.
Do you know, funny thing is, quite a quiet few months, so people would have said, wow, are you sure you want to be releasing an album in September, 5 months into a pandemic, and maybe at least 5 months more to go, or maybe 5 years, who knows? And you kind of said, yeah, we're going to do that. And isn't that a nice little kind of answer to it all?
But that's it. It was a distraction. It was something to do. And we'd had the songs ready for a few months at that stage, so we couldn't really sit on it any longer. We just thought these songs aren't going to be relevant to us any longer if we keep sitting on them. So we just released them. I think it was the best thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. In fact, I was going to say, Fontaines were lucky too, because they got their second one out before it all happened. So they have it all done now. Yeah. So, OK, how did the whole thing come about then? The James Corden part of it, first of all.
He sent us an email. It sounds like a joke, but he reached out to us. Well, his music supervisor reached out to us on his behalf and said, James is a fan. He'd love to have you on the show. How can we make this work? And we just sorted it out from there.
Can I just ask that if there wasn't a global pandemic, as the ads keep telling us, and life does as well, if there wasn't any of that around, would they have flown you over to LA?
Yeah, it is. That's the only negative to it, that we probably could have gone over to LA if there wasn't a global pandemic. But that being said, I don't know if our nerves could have handled it. So maybe it was a good way to have eased us in.
For crying out loud. Like everything, if you've done All Together Now and you've done Electric Picnic and other gigs all around the place, which, by the way, you have, you can certainly handle a Lincoln studio in LA. By the way, what was I going to say? The Grammy Awards, meant to be at the end of this month, they've been kicked off now. So Fontaine's going to have to wait. I think they're trying to put them on in April. Now, whether they do or not, of course, is another thing. But if they put it on in April, they'll put it on properly as opposed to remotely. And therefore, they will get to be flown over. Anyway, just answer me this then. Did you get a chance to chat to James before the interview?
Yeah, we did actually. We had a good bit of time to chat to him beforehand. He's a really nice guy and he seems to genuinely really like the band. He's quite familiar with Irish music, which was a nice surprise. But he knows that there's a lot of really good stuff going on in Irish music at the moment, which is great. And he seems to really want to support it.
Yeah, he seems to genuinely like Irish bands. Here, take a listen to this bit here. Hold on.
Your debut album, In Waiting, got released in September. It was named one of the best Irish albums of 2020. I'm going to say I think it's one of the best albums of 2020.
Right, and here's another bit. Hold on.
There's a feeling amongst people that everybody's just missed bands for a while and there hasn't been a new band to be perhaps this excited about.
Do you know, I'm just thinking about something there. If he had said all of that and then you were meant to perform, you'd be going, holy cow, we better live up to this. Whereas I presume there was a distance between him saying that and your actual recording, was there?
Yeah, we'd pre-recorded, thankfully, because this was all happening. This happened pre-lockdown. So we'd recorded it in December. So we'd the performance done and dusted. We just had the interview to do there the other night.
And where did you do it? You did it here in Dublin, did you?
Yeah, we shot it in Dublin in a studio called D-Light Studios that the director works out of.
Right, indeed. And you had to, like, to do it remotely. So the actual performance of the song Liffey, why'd you pick Liffey?
I think it was the Dublin theme of the song. We really wanted that on an international plane.
Yeah, and you were in D-Light, as you say, in North Great Clarence Street in Dublin. Now, what do you call it? David Balfe, for those I love, revealed a Shelburne FC flag at the end of his performance on Jules Holland a couple of weeks now. And the Reds have got some exposure in the US with Pamela sporting a pin for the interview. Is that right? Would I be right there?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so tell me, like, is there a football thing with you guys?
There seems to be, I mean, I'm a Bose fan. Pamela's going to be screaming at the radio now when I say this, but she's Shells through and through, and she's good friends with David Balfe as well, so they're on the Shells buzz, but no, it causes some contention there.
Right, okay, so you're not necessarily all Shells fans then. Have you been able to meet up to write new material throughout lockdown?
We have, when it's safe to do so, we have a practice space in East Wall that we go to. So whenever it's kind of okay for us to get together, we do. But the time not gigging has just given us a lot of time to be writing. And that's actually been great, because since we started the band, I guess 4 years ago, we've been on tour since, or playing festivals or gigs or whatever. So we haven't had a ton of time to write. So the quiet time has actually given us a lot of time to write songs for album two, which we're working towards at the moment.
Do you know, when you play a festival and there's going to be a lot of people going along saying, oh, I've heard of this crowd, let's take a look. But there's also a lot of people who know you well because, you know, you're on at this specific time, like Electric Picnic or All Together Now, whatever. But when you play alongside Future Islands, which you have done, or Idols, is it a question of, look, you just got to do whatever and they're not there to see you necessarily, or is that the case?
I think just every experience is different. I mean, the day that we played, God, we played, that was our first ever stadium show. We played with Idols and Future Islands. And I think we were just so delighted to be there. We were having such a great time. But I think we went on stage at like 1:30 in the day. There was only a sprinkling of the crowd that was yet to come in the actual arena at that point. But it was an amazing day. Like, we loved it. And again, it was kind of easing us into playing bigger stages at some stage. So that was great.
Well, you know, if you had been touring and if you had been kind of capitalising on the release of an album and now you can't do that, do you think a second album is going to be released sooner than you probably would have originally thought?
Maybe. I mean, we definitely want to give the first album its live life. We want to be able to play those songs on tour at some point. But I don't think we're going to sit on album two and wait just so there's time to tour. I think we'll probably just keep going, and when we can tour, we can tour, but it's not going to stop us making and releasing music.
Yeah, because you know, you could get the second one out and then when you start touring again, you could just do a greatest hits show, couldn't you? Perfect.
Up for it.
Yeah, I mean, not being able to tour and support the debut album is not exactly ideal, let's put it that way, but you know, have there been silver linings of things that you may not have been able to do as a band if, you know, you were off touring the world? I mean, besides being able to write a bit more, have there been other good things at all coming out of lockdown?
I think we thought there'd be a huge separation from our audience, the people who listen to us, but actually there's been such a nice amount of engagement online, really personal engagement, people reaching out to us to tell us how much the album has meant to them in lockdown, to kind of have something new to listen to and to, you know, really take the time to listen to. So that kind of like audience engagement piece has been really lovely, because we never would have gotten that. We would have been playing to new crowds every night, but we probably wouldn't have gotten a chance to chat to people, maybe selling merch after. But like, yeah, that's been a kind of insight we never expected to get.
Yeah, but by the same token, I'd say if you wanted a 2019 or a 2020 for 2021, you'd take 2019, wouldn't you? In other words, real life.
Oh yeah. Oh God.
Yes, it's not as though you're praising the times we live in. Okay, so like, you know, this business, oh yeah, in the last few days then, have you noticed an kind of, how shall I put this, an upswing in interest in Pillow Queens?
Yeah, it's been really nice. So we're able to kind of log our streaming figures and that kind of thing. So we've noticed a sharp incline in our streaming figures since the James Corden show, which has been great. We finally hit that 10K mark on Instagram that we've been battling for so long. So that's been nice. But yeah, I mean, honestly, just getting to play the song, or like getting the songs heard by new people, is just, it's what we wanted to happen from the album. So
yeah,
it's been really great.
Yeah, you want to get the songs heard. Would there ever have been, if you were in normal times, of trying to capitalize on this and maybe looking at the United States to do some dates because of what's happened here on TV?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I mean, we've been over, we played two showcase shows there at the end of 2019. We had got plans. We were also booked for South by Southwest last March in Texas. Yeah. So that was kind of our big, all right, we're going to the States now, let's do this. And we had kind of meetings booked with agents and that sort of thing. But obviously the pandemic happened, so that didn't happen. But it was really nice to kind of get that opportunity to showcase in America anyway. So hopefully when we can tour again, we'll get to do a proper tour over there.
Well, I know that you don't have dates necessarily in America, but you do have dates in England, don't you?
Yeah, so we're holding on to them until we have to change them, I suppose. It's the same with the Irish dates. Like, the initial dates were kind of March, April for Ireland, and then obviously things changed, so we shifted them to August. We're just kind of following things as we get guidelines. So as soon as we can, we'll play the dates. They're definitely going to go ahead as soon as they can.
Right, but I mean, for instance, if you have like from April 25 to May 6, you've got Glasgow, Manchester, London, Brighton, Liverpool, Birmingham, Bristol, depending on, isn't that it? Who knows?
Exactly.
Yeah, right, exactly. And then you've got some for August too, all around Ireland too, depending on, again, who knows again. And as well as getting huge exposure in the likes of the US with that performance and support for the likes of Six Music in the UK and Rough Trade, etc., was it nice to get the nod as a Choice Music Prize nominee along with your Irish contemporaries?
That was incredible. Like we talk a lot about when we started the band, we set ourselves some goals. We had a bucket list and Choice Prize album nomination was at the very top of that list. And we said, it doesn't matter how many albums we have to release, we're going to be on that list. So to do it for our debut was absolutely incredible. We all just cried our eyes out when we heard.
And when you start dissing all the others if you don't win on the night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
they're all friends of ours. Like, genuinely, that list is amazing. Whoever wins on the night, we're going to be delighted for them because it's such a strong list.
Okay, it is just such a strong list. And you've just used the phrase there, we're all friends kind of thing. I just want to take a look at this. It's Bitch Falcon, Denise Chyla, Fontaines, Jelly Owl, Roisin Murphy, Nilo, Pillow Queens, Avaridi, Niamh Regan, Silverbacks, etc. Do you know, is there a scene? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I think there is a bit, there's more of a, is this going to sound cliche? There's more of a community, I think. People are very, artists are very
supportive. Yeah, it does sound cliche.
It's nice. Whatever. Saturday afternoon.
It sounds like the new normal. Okay, no, that's fair enough. Yeah, no, but there is, isn't there? I mean, like, do you know these people? When you say you know them, it means you know them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're best friends with Alva. We shared a practice space with Fontaines DC. We've played loads of gigs with them. Denise Chyla was sending us voice notes of congratulations on the day of the nominations. Like, it was like, it's a really strong scene of really passionate people, and we just have a lot in common, I think. So, yeah.
Well, I just played the Dublin Quintet, I'll call them, if I can call you a quartet, which is Silverbacks, a track from their fad album there called Up the Nurses. And the thing is that when you look at the list, the likes of yourselves, and not just Silverbacks, but Bitch Falcon, let me see, Fontaines, of course, maybe more. It's been a while since we've had such a wealth of kind of, if you like, rock bands. Why do you think guitar music is making a return, and a much wanted one at that, from the reception that the likes of yourselves are getting?
I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's making a return. I'm really happy that it has, because that's kind of been, like, we've all been in bands for like 10 years. We've all been playing this kind of music for 10 years. And now that it's popular again, it's great. It's really well timed. We're delighted. But it's also really nice to be on a list of, you know, similar-ish bands that are kind of doing the same thing. But that being said, like, just to circle back to the scene community vibe, I don't think there's a huge divide in genre. I think it doesn't matter if it's like a hip hop act and a rock act going head to head. Like, there's nobody better than the other, or there's not kind of one scene over another. Like, it's very, it's kind of like a big family. It's quite nice.
Yeah, and like, just the family that you've got finally then, Sarah. I mean, the thing is that, you know, the four of you as Pillow Queens, did you know each other vaguely before you kind of formed as Pillow Queens? So I know you're all kind of played in other bands, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. The other three girls knew each other for a long time. And then I was living with Pamela. I actually met Pamela when she was busking in Temple Bar. And I was so blown away by her voice that I was like, who is this person? Which kind of sounds like a version of Once or something. But anyway, it was magical. But yeah, the girls have known each other for a really long time. And then when we decided to start this band, it was just a case of, I don't know, getting together more.
And do you think your music then has, I know I said finally, but here's finally, has grown up more, like, as in, like, that you started more, maybe, I don't know, not so much punk as the DIY part of punk, and now it's a really different ball game the way you approach music?
Yeah, like, we definitely started, we were a lot more scrappy than we are now. I think that's a lot to do with the kind of stages that we were playing. So when we started bigger stages, the three chord kind of scrappy punky influence stuff didn't work as well. So we wanted to make it a little bit more cinematic or something, and that was kind of the vibe that we started going for then. But like, even in terms of like musical ability, like Kathy and Rachel are both like trained in music, like they've studied music. Myself and Pamela don't know what we're doing, but we've learned a lot from them throughout the 4 years of being in the band, which has been quite helpful.
All right, well, so has James Corden, so fair play to you. It hasn't done it. It's been a good laugh this week. It's been fantastic. Congratulations and well done. It is Sarah Corcoran, as in bassist with Pillow Queens, and the album is called In Waiting. I'll play a track from it now. So good luck. Thanks a million, Sarah. Take it easy, right? All right, back on the stage in Ireland soon, hopefully. Good luck.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.